The clear statement will help it build support and alliances with other countries in the Southeast Asia.
Defining South China Sea boundaries. It's Tuesday, August 4th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the road to the White House is not as smooth as may be presumed, and music for a pandemic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. We continue our look at the South China Sea, a prominent flashpoint of tensions between the United States and China. Today we focus on China's definition of territory, the so-called nine-dash line. Julian Ku, a distinguished professor of constitutional law at Hofstra University School of Law, explains more to VOA's Adriana Zhang. We apologize for the digital echo during the discussion. However, we feel the information is quite interesting.
What's happening is that the U.S. has always encouraged China to abide by the arbitral ruling. It has also said China is bound by the arbitral ruling. But what's new now is the United States has come out and said, and we agree with the actual different parts of the arbitral ruling and will take steps to oppose China's actions, which are in violation of the arbitral ruling, or at least they've suggested they'll take steps. So the difference is saying, not just that we think you should follow whatever the court says, but we agree that what the court said was correct. So that's really the way it's different. And it's something that the United States has not really said clearly until now. And so the United States has never said that it has taken the position that the nine-dash line is illegal. What it said before was that it was very skeptical that there is any legal basis for the nine-dash line and that China should clarify its reasoning. What's happening now is the United States saying, there's no way this could ever be legal no matter what China says. So we reject it.
Are we going to see more concrete action from the U.S.? For example, more sanctions or more military actions towards China?
I don't know. I mean, I think that certainly it lays the groundwork to take more actions. I think what the U.S. has done so far is its actions sort of have always been, we'll take the Navy and the Navy ships will go and it will operate even in places where China says it's within China's control or China's sovereignty or that Chinese rule should be followed. And so they've already been doing that, and I expect they'll continue to do that. And these are the so-called freedom of navigation operations, where the Navy just kind of goes around and just shows that it does not respect China's views on what counts as part of China, I guess. The question is whether they'll do anything more than that, because the Chinese, I think, it doesn't really affect China that much to have the Navy ships go in and out of their waters that they don't, so I think the next step would be something like sanctions, I think, is something that's certainly been talked about in Congress and that the president has the authority to do. What I've said is that the United States should treat this like Crimea, which is that Russia is in control of Crimea, but the United States does not accept that Russia has a legal right to control Crimea, and so it will not allow U.S. businesses to operate in Crimea. And at the very least, the United States should adopt a similar approach to the areas that China has built up in the South China Sea that are in violation of the arbitral award. It should not allow U.S. businesses or banks or any other businesses that operate in the United States to do business with or support in any way the construction or the facilities in that region.
Julian Ku, a distinguished professor of constitutional law at Hofstra University School of Law, speaking with VOA's Adriana Zhang. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Australia declares COVID-19 disaster in second largest city. Why U.S. lawmakers introduce bill after bill to help Taiwan. China considers toughening rules for foreign English teachers. Islamic State attack on Afghan prison lasts 20 hours, kills 29. U.S. imposes sanctions on Chinese company over abuse of Uyghurs. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia You can also stop by the VOANews.com website. As VOA Asia continues, two coronavirus vaccines have entered the final phase of testing. There are now five shots in the pipeline. Scientists expect to know by the end of the year if any of them are safe and effective. VOA's Steve Barragona has this update.
Tests got underway at 120 sites worldwide on a vaccine developed by drug firms BioNTech, Pfizer, and China's Fosun Pharma. Another 89 sites in the United States are hosting tests on Moderna's vaccine. They're the last set of clinical trials before approval. Frank Ader leads the study at a Moderna site in New York.
And once we get past this trial, we can move into the general public and actually mass producing and having this given to the population.
Before that happens, though, these trials will gauge how well the vaccines work and how safe they are. Though new techniques helped get these shots ready in record time, officials say all the normal safety checks are in place. The tests that just started are a key part of that, says Vanderbilt University infectious disease doctor William Schaffner.
These are new technology vaccines against a new virus in humans. We need to be very careful about that and look at vaccine safety very carefully. That information comes out of the large, we call them phase three trials. Those are the ones that are currently underway.
Yeah, go ahead.
Those phase three trials involve tens of thousands of patients to look for less common side effects. Scientists hope for results by the end of the year. Another vaccine in phase three comes from Oxford University and drug firm AstraZeneca. Like the Moderna and BioNTech vaccines, the Oxford shot triggered immune responses in early tests. But that's not enough, says Oxford's project lead, Sarah Gilbert.
So we don't know how strong that immune response needs to be. So we can't say just by looking at the immune responses whether this is going to protect people or not. And the only way we're going to find out is by doing the large phase three trials.
Even before those trials produce results, the British government has given companies millions of dollars and the U.S. government billions to manufacture the vaccines. That way, some doses will be ready right away if results are positive. Sandy Douglas is with the Oxford team. The
vaccine may be available for people in some high-risk groups in the UK by the end of the year, but it won't be made available to everybody immediately. It's likely to be given to the people who have the most to benefit from it, the most to gain from it earliest, and then gradually introduced for other people.
U.S. health officials are also discussing who will get the limited supply of first doses, likely beginning with healthcare workers. Two Chinese companies have vaccines in phase three testing in the United Arab Emirates and Brazil. At least 17 other vaccines are in earlier clinical tests around the world. Experts say more is better because different vaccines may work best for different groups of people. Steve Barragona, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, U.S. President Donald Trump has agreed to give China's internet giant ByteDance 45 days to negotiate the sale of popular video app TikTok to Microsoft Corporation, according to people familiar with the matter. He initially vowed to ban the app altogether. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. With the U.S. presidential election fewer than 100 days away, opinion polls give presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden a double-digit lead over President Trump, whose approval ratings have dropped as U.S. coronavirus deaths continue to rise. However, as VOA's Brian Patton reports, the presidential race could still tighten as it becomes less a referendum on the president and more a choice between him and Biden, whose record and proposals will receive more scrutiny when he officially becomes his party's nominee.
President Trump's approval ratings have dropped during the prolonged coronavirus pandemic in the United States, a deep economic recession, and civil unrest. Presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, who was President Barack Obama's vice president, is now leading in presidential election polls by double digits. His rise is due in large part to a low-key and disciplined campaign that has relentlessly criticized Trump's handling of the crisis and slammed Trump's erratic messaging, including denying responsibility for how America America handles the pandemic.
He's shown that he can't beat the pandemic and keep you safe. He can't turn the economy around and get America back to work.
Despite bleak polling data, Trump's backers say if the U.S. can slow the coronavirus infection rate or develop an effective vaccine before the November election, the president's prospects will improve.
The more the focus remains on the pandemic, the better shape Biden's in. So any issue or combination of issues that move the focus away from the pandemic is probably going to hurt Biden by helping Trump.
The president's supporters also see opportunity as protests for racial justice have been marred by violence, arguing Trump's law and order message will resonate as unrest continues in several American cities. Biden, for his part, has been careful not to endorse protesters' calls to disband or defund police forces. A political moderate, Biden has nonetheless put forward expansive and expensive economic, environmental, and health care plans Republicans will attack as job-killing and socialist, hoping to appeal to pro-business, independent voters. At the same time, the president's strong opposition to abortion, gun control, and illegal immigration is likely to keep enthusiasm high among his base supporters. Biden's choice of a female vice presidential running mate expected in coming days will appeal to core Democratic constituencies, but could also alienate moderates if seen as too progressive and divide the party if not seen as progressive enough. Democratic and Republican strategists agree current polls in no way guarantee a Biden victory in November. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
With concerts, festivals, tours, and award shows all around the world canceled or put on indefinite hold, many professional musicians and composers who had relied on performances for their income have found themselves in a difficult situation. But some say that these challenges present the opportunities to grow. We hear more from Maria Prus.
A fiery mix of bluegrass, Irish folk and rock music brought by a DC-based band Scythian has been entertaining a Facebook crowd live twice a month. What started as a smartphone webcast in March evolved into a full-scale, multi-camera, professional-sounding performance called Warren Stream.
Every stream will have between 15 and 20 festivals and music venues partnering and cross-posting with us, and so we've been averaging about 50,000 views per stream. I mean, we don't get paid for those views, but we ask people for Venmo tips or like PayPal, and the people have been incredibly generous. So that's how we've been surviving till now.
Not only did Scythian largely depend on the festivals, they were planning their 6th annual Bluegrass Festival in Virginia Mountains that attracted over 8,000 people last year.
Entertainment has always been recession-proof. So our band has survived two recessions. When people are doing poorly in recessions, they want to go out and forget. And we're excited about this year, and then all of a sudden, it's probably not going to happen. But I think if we can keep on growing our fan base with the Corn Streams, then when we go back to doing the festival, more people are going to know about us than ever before.
Andrew Krause, a Maryland-based concert pianist, has also started his Facebook classical music series called Respite. He says he has always advised his students to look for sources of additional income, but it's up to the audience whether or not to support his work online.
If you want artists to be able to produce content, you have to support us. Because if we are working 18 hours a day at something else, then we don't have the energy, time, and ultimately the expertise to produce anything for you that you're really going to want to listen to. It will truly become the age of the amateur.
Musicians agree that if the industry survives, it's going to come out of the pandemic looking very different. And musicians will no doubt be able to develop a whole new creative approach. Maria Prus in Washington, VOA News.
That's our program. You can hear VOA Asia every weekday at the same time. And you can find us online at voanews.com, where you can download our full-length 25-minute programs and listen to them as a podcast. We thank you as always for joining us, and we thank those who helped bring this program to you, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.